Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, April 11th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page XXVIII, the third paragraph, starting with, if you feel that as psychiatrists, ending with the altruistic movement now growing up among them. Reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Juanis N., 12 Traditions, Debbie P., Reader of the Text, Mary B., Jordan L. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Sherry M. The reference number for Sunday, April 10th, is 18,805. That's 18805. And for this morning, April 11th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 18,825. That's 18825. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Lorraine N., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Juanis N. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Juanis.
Good morning. This is Juanis N., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. And four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Juanis N. I'll now ask Debbie P. to read the 12 traditions. Thank you, Juanis, for reading those 12 steps. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service. My name is Debbie P. I'm from Indiana. I'm a compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public communication media. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Debbie P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page XXVIII, the third paragraph. If any feel that as psychiatrists, ending with the altruistic movement now growing up among them. And we're going to be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only today. I will now ask Mary B. to read and share with us. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you. My name is Mary B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Phoenix, Arizona. If any feel that a psychiatrist directing a hospital for alcoholics, we appear somewhat sentimental, let them stand with us a while on the firing line, see the tragedies, the despairing wives, the little children. Let the solving of these problems become a part of their daily work, even of their sleeping moments. And the most cynical will not wonder that we have accepted and encouraged this movement. We feel after many years of experience that we have found nothing which has contributed more to the rehabilitation of these men than the altruistic movement now growing up among them. Yeah, this is pretty good, exciting stuff. You know, Dr. Silkworth, when he wrote these letters, he had been working with alcoholics and drug addicts for 20 years at that point. He is considered no less than a saint in the halls of Alcoholics Anonymous. I read recently that when he was training, doing his internship to become the doctor, they put him in a ward to work with alcoholics, and he said that's where he fell in love with alcoholics and working with them. But by this paragraph, I see that he sees what we've been through, what we're going through, the pain, the agony of how he gets us into the hospital, he sobers us up, and we leave the hospital, and 3 months, 6 months, or even a year later, we come back worse off than we were before. It's amazing. So when he's with Bill, after he has his white light experience there in the hospital where he feels the presence of God and never drinks again. And from that moment on, he sees how this thing grows into something amazing. Bill has the psychic change, which he had referred to earlier, Dr. Silkworth. And the world of alcoholism gets turned upside down. And thank God that we can be a part of that, even though we're overeaters. I love that word altruistic. It means other-centered rather than self-centered, because I was self-centered for so many years. Yeah. It's amazing because I've been a sponsor now for 5 years, and I've heard about the tragedies, the little children, the people that get hurt through this illness, even though they don't have the illness, but they're around us that do. Because I, too, for many years thought that I wasn't hurting anybody other than myself, and I was hurting so many other people who I've made amends to, thank God. I'm so grateful for you allowing me to share, and thank you, Overeaters Anonymous, one more time, one more millionth time, for helping me to stay abstinent today. Thank you, everybody on the line, everybody doing service, and welcome to the newcomer. I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary B., for getting us started. I'll now be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Brandy M.
Brandy M.
Barney W.
Who is that?
Barney W. from Brazil.
Okay, it's kind of hard to hear you, Barney. I don't know if there's an adjustment that you could make to make your voice a little bit louder, but you're in the lineup, so thank you.
Freya
who else
H.
would like to share? Freya H.
Debbie M.
Debbie
Ohio.
D-G.
Was that Debbie M. Ohio?
N like in Nancy.
Okay, very good. And who else did I hear?
Sivia V-G, California.
Was that... Oh, Sivia,
yeah.
VG,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
From California.
Okay, very good. All right, let's stop there. I've got Brandy M., Barney M., Freya H., Debbie N., and Sivia VG. Go ahead, Brandy, and please get us started.
Good morning. It's Brandy M., recovered compulsive overeater. Actually, I'm not recovered. I am a food addict. That's what I am. Anyways, I am in Canada. So I love this paragraph. It gives me so much hope. Like, you know, here's a psychiatrist totally believing in this book and the directions and, you know, this program of action that was developed for us addicts to recover. And, you know, what really spoke to me today is, you know, see the tragedies, the despairing lives of little children. And for me, I am coming out of a couple-month relapse, and, you know, in that time, I saw how much my food addiction impacts the people around me. You know, I knew it before. I knew that, you know, that it does, but, you know, I've been abstinent now for, I think, 10 days, and you know, my kid said to me yesterday, she said, Mom, you know what? It's so nice to have you back. Like, you know, because although I was here physically, mentally, and spiritually, I was not here. I wasn't present for them. You know, I was just getting by again. And, you know, it does hurt the people around us. You know, a lot of people think, well, it's just food. It's just, you know, I don't minimize ever. Like, this disease will kill me and take me out. And while it's killing me and taking me out, it's going to impact the people around me. And so, you know, today it's nice to show up, to be present for those people and, you know, continue to do this daily work that I need to do in order to stay abstinent and, you know, be connected with my higher power. And, you know, thank God that somebody went before us and did this and outlined this book for us because, you know, it saves my life. And I wish I had a story of, you know, continuous abstinence and continue, but I don't. And so, you know, God's brought me back again to see, whoa, okay. You know, thank God this time it only had to be a couple months, but in that couple months, like life goes downhill very quickly. And so for today, you know, I'm abstinent, I'm clean, I'm available, and there doesn't need to be the continued hurt. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Brandy M. from Canada. Barney M., please share with us. Go ahead, Barney, if you could press star 1. Oh, okay, perhaps Barney had to step away. Freya H., would you share with us, please?
Barney W.
Oh, there he is. Go ahead, Barney.
Hi, this is Barney W. in Virginia. Thanks for letting me share. This paragraph has really touched me, and I'd like to share about it. I was over 600 pounds at one point, and I had 3 weight loss surgeries, not one, but 3. And
Barney, we can't hear you.
I don't know why. I'm gonna pass then. Thank you.
Okay, Barney. So sorry about that. Yeah, you were just a little quieter there. Freya H., would you please share with us?
Good morning. This is Freya H. I am a grateful recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in Colorado. Thanks, everybody, for making this meeting happen. I my first take at this paragraph is that this is a nod to the fact that this is a family disease, that this is not, you know, this is a disease of relationships, and I think about Al-Anon. So, you know, this idea that it's, it is how that powerlessness that Dr. Sokla is describing, that he sees how destructive this is, and he cannot help these people the way that he wishes he could. And so he's appealing to, you know, appealing to those who might be skeptical of this program. Like, where's the science behind it? Where are the studies? You know, how can you be prescribing this when there's, you know, where's the evidence? And he's saying the evidence is in that this works. You know, he says that we have found nothing. After years, we have found nothing which has contributed more to the rehabilitation of these men than this program. So the evidence is it works. And he can't prove it, you know, any more than we can prove the existence of God. But the proof is in, it reminds me of, you know, in We Agnostics, it says, you know, put everything aside and see that these people have something that's working, and is what I'm doing working? And so that's, it's very powerful to hear it from Dr. Silkworth's perspective, that that he knows his stuff and that nothing else works more than this. So, and also acknowledging that there's, I think he's also acknowledging and describing some of the unmanageability, you know, that this is not just about the drinking. It goes a lot deeper than that. And so our solution has to go a lot deeper than that. So I think I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Freya H., for sharing with us. And Barney, if you want to try calling in, I'd be happy to take your name again, and we'd try again, and then hopefully the line would be better. I'm sorry about that. Thank you so much, Freya H. Debbie N., will you share with us now, please? Star 1, Debbie N.
Yes, this is Debbie N. from Ohio. That's N like in Nancy. And I just wanted, the thought that came to me was, did Bill W. or any of them even begin to realize the ripple effect of the program that they were creating for alcoholics? I'm not an alcoholic, I'm a compulsive overeater. They probably had no idea that people with other addictions would be benefiting from this. They were addressing only alcoholics. And in some ways, as a compulsive overeater, I'm grateful that it was, the genesis of it was in alcoholism. Because when I share with people, when I go out to eat with people or go to their house to eat and ask them if there's sugar in what they prepared or ask them ahead of time, you know, they'll often tell me just a little bit, is that a problem? And when I'm able to respond to them, well, sugar for me is like alcohol to an alcoholic. They completely get it. They completely understand that they would never say to an alcoholic, well, there's just a little bit of alcohol in it. They know that an alcoholic has to abstain 100%. And so I'm very, very grateful that the wisdom of these individuals and how that has an effect all these years later for people who are dealing with and suffering from other addictive diseases. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Debbie N. from Ohio. Sivia VG, will you share with us? And then I'm going to be opening up the line to take more names. Just a quick reminder, we are on page XXVIII, the third paragraph. If any feel that as psychiatrists, and ending with the altruistic movement now growing up among us, among them, and we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. So go ahead, Sivia, please share with us.
Good morning, everybody, and greetings from a wet Northern California. Thank goodness. So there's so much in this little paragraph. You know, the previous paragraph talked about frothy emotional appeal, and this paragraph is saying, you know, back in 1939 when this book was written, alcohol was not seen as a disease. And the medical profession did not have the DSM 1, 2, or whatever it was, where it finally said that alcohol is an illness. It was looked at as a moral failing. And what this is saying is that if you could set aside as doctors, you know, even, you know, the concept of that moral failing and look at this, we see people every day where their lives are totally destroyed and they have found nothing which has contributed more to the rehabilitation than the altruistic movement. And what's altruism? Is helping others for the sake of nothing else than to help them. That it is without that altruism, that spiritual part of the program that will help other alcoholics and to that end also food addicts. And we forget. And when we're working the program, those of us who are full of self-centeredness, self-will, selfish, whatever that self is, you know, I look at that self, the third step prayer, relieve me of the bondage of self so that I can better do what God wants me to do, what I may better do thy will, which is to help others so that I can convey what that spiritual aspect of the program can do. It's only by doing what God or my higher power, whatever that is, not necessarily a guy, blonde guy with a beard and blue eyes, but whatever my concept is, it doesn't matter. It's only then that I can find relief from the food, from the alcohol, from whatever it is. And to me, this paragraph is really, as this chapter is, my book is totally marked up in the doctor's opinion. And this really tells me, you know, he's begging other doctors that if you think we're just looking at this because we feel sorry for these people, we have found in our experience that by helping others that you will see your alcoholics recover. And to me, that's what this is saying. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sivia VG from California. And now I'm going to be opening up the lines to take the names of more people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And again, we are on page XXVIII, the third paragraph, starting with, if any feel that as psychiatrists. Commenting on that one paragraph today. Who would like to share with us?
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Who else would like to share this morning?
Barbara S., New York.
Barbara S., New York.
Patricia H. from North Carolina.
Patricia H., North Carolina. Okay, let's go with that. Deborah G., Barbara S., Patricia H. Go ahead, Deborah, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much for your service today and your talk yesterday, special edition. That was amazing. Thank you. And thank you all who have made this meeting possible. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And yes, you know, I have experienced with working with others, hearing their lives, you know, and seeing out in the world people's lives of what this disease does. It's sad. It's heart-wrenching. And I am so grateful that there is this program, that there is a solution and a way out so they don't have to suffer. And in seeing that and knowing that and reading that in the book, also confirming that, you know, I don't want others to suffer. I feel that that's what God's will is for me, to help the person who is suffering. And that's what I want to do. God, what do you have for me today? And going out into my day, whether it's a phone call or I go somewhere and connect with somebody, whatever it is, use me so that I can help so no one has to suffer. I know that suffering myself when I was in the disease, you know, being so wrapped up in the insanity and wrapped up in the food and just an awful, awful place to be, you know, no spiritual connection, no connectedness to that loving presence. And I'm so glad I was reminded yesterday of that loving presence that loves me so much. And I love those words that you share, that I want to have those same words because God has those same words for me and those same words for everybody out there. And to share that with everybody out there, let them know how loved they are. I'm so grateful for this program. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Now, Barbara S. from New York, please share with us. Star one, Barbara.
Hi, this is Barbara S. from New York. I'm so glad that I got on to this meeting because these meetings are a blessing and a reminder. There are times if I'm not on meetings or if I'm not making calls, I forget. And the only answer for addictions, but I'm talking about the food addiction, is a belief in some sort of higher power. I see food clouds my mind, and I can't open that door in my mind, my higher self. I call it my higher self. There's my lower self, which ignores any higher power, anything with food, any kind of addiction, but my higher self knows that I have to keep my mind clear so I can be in touch with my higher power. And also I need to help others more, because when I do that, it's just a better feeling. It's a warmer feeling. I have a purpose. And I really don't have that much more to say, except I'm very glad that I got onto this meeting for this reminder. I go on many meetings, but sometimes I'm just going like for the fact of, oh, I'm on a meeting and I'm not absorbing. Right now I am absorbing, and this paragraph and this chapter specifically is the answer, one of the answers, the solution. I'm working on the solution. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you so much, Barbara S. from New York. Patricia H., will you share with us now, please? And then I'll be opening up the lines to take more names. Go ahead,
good morning,
Patricia.
Good morning. This is Patricia H., a recovering compulsive overeater from North Carolina. This chapter is really rich. I am so grateful for all the shares I've heard this morning. The doctor, how he explains that he's tried everything. And here is someone now that is doing the altruistic. They have no selfish motive other than to help another person that is going through what they have gone through. And I can relate to that so desperately when I came into program, because like the alcoholic, I had tried everything. I've tried every diet out there. I've even had surgery to lose weight. And the diets I tried, I lost hundreds of pounds over the years and spent thousands of dollars to lose the weight, but I always gained it all back. And, you know, I knew something's got to be mentally wrong with me. What is going on here? Why do I keep doing the same thing and knowing that I'm going to end up with the same results? And after studying the Big Book and even now, you know, to understand that this is not my fault. This is not something based on my willpower and what I can do, but this is something that I have to turn to my higher power, who I choose to call God. And this is the only way I can get the help, and by practicing these principles in the Big Book. When I reach out to others, even an outreach call, it's just so rewarding when you talk to another fellow on the phone, and at the end of the call, you help them, and it's helping you even more than it did you, just to be able to open up and share what's on your heart with someone else about what you're dealing with and to listen to them. This is one of the best programs, I think, that God ever created. And I'm just so grateful for a vision for you. This is one of the best programs that I've ever been involved in, and I'm just so grateful because I'm getting clarity and understanding on the Big Book now as I listen and as I study. And I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to share. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Patricia H. from North Carolina. I'm now going to be opening up the lines. We are on page XXVIII, the third paragraph, starting with, if any feel that as psychiatrists, ending with the altruistic movement now growing up among them. And we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us today?
Donna B.
Donna B.
Tamara C.
Tamara C. Okay, let's go ahead with Donna B. Please share with us.
Good morning. My name is Donna Britton. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater at Millimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. What the paragraph sounds like to me is that the doctors are saying, kind of from a posture of defensiveness, you know, if you think we're being sentimental, try to put yourself in our position. And I looked up the word sentimental, and it says resulting from feeling rather than reason or thought, having a sentimental attachment, having an excess of sentiment or sensibility. So it sounds to me like what they're saying is, we understand that in the field of medicine, reason or thought is what we value, which later in the book, when we get into more about alcoholism, we learn again about, I think it's weak Gnostics, we love reason, we love thought, but for some reason it isn't sufficient. It isn't working. So you may think that we're being sentimental. You may think that we have just thrown away our reason, thrown away our thought processes to be these mushy people who are just having all these feelings and getting into this alcoholism business without any thought. And so it really is, from the perspective of the physician even, they are acknowledging reason and thought is not sufficient for this amazingly powerful disease. There's something that happens through the process of altruism, giving for no reason at all, that has an impact greater than any thought or reason. So again, when we talk about Dr. Soule's work specifically, we talk about the humility of his ability to set aside that worship of reason to make space for something that is not reason, almost unreasonable. And that's pretty amazing. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. Tamara C., please share with us, and then I'll be opening up the lines to take a few more names. Go ahead, Tamara.
Good morning. This is Tamara C., recovered compulsive overeater in California. What's on my heart from this paragraph is like seeing the tragedies. I grew up with a mother who has this disease, and I got to witness her pain and suffering, her physical and emotional pain, always, always, always on some kind of diet or exercise program or something, always with the idea that when I lose weight, I'll be happy. And just saw her suffer a great deal of humiliation. I'm hiding from life. I can't go do that. I don't want people to see me. And then I got to personally experience this pain myself. And it is a tragedy. It is very miserable, very dark and horrible. And this part about solving these problems, a part of our daily work. So I tried to solve this problem. I saw my mom try to solve this problem her entire life, or my entire life, of seeing her. And then seeing myself try to solve this problem through exercise and controlling what I eat, trying to control what I eat, bullying myself, trying to think my way to a solution, get it together, figure this out, get your act together, Tamara, do better, do better. And so after all of this witness, no wonder I accept and encourage this solution that works, this spiritual transformation through the steps. It's just incredible. I've seen my own life recreated, and I've seen the lives of others recreated through this program. And I'm just so, my heart is so full of gratitude for the way it has come to be, and that I get to be a part of it. And this horrible, awful disease full of tragedy has been my greatest gift, because it has brought me to a 12-step program and taught me a new way of living that's so beautiful. And I'm just thankful to everyone who's here. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Tamara C. from California. And I'm going to open up the lines and take a couple, two or three more names. We're on page XXV, III, third paragraph. If any feel that as psychiatrists, and we're reading that one paragraph, commenting on that one paragraph, who would like to share with us?
Janice K.
Janice K. I'll take two more names. Now
Chris.
Is your chance.
Kara B.
Chris. Okay, I have Chris F. And was that Kara B?
Sarah B.
Oh, Sarah B. Okay, so Chris, go ahead and share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Chris F. from Wyoming, and I'm calling because I'm a compulsive overeater, and I am so very, very grateful for this program. And I must say that over the years, I've not been involved with AA or OA, and I've seen firsthand how it affects a person and as a healthcare provider, and how impactful that role is and how devastating it can be over time, seeing how debilitating this disease has been with individuals that I've cared for. And I've also seen it firsthand as a adult child of an alcoholic and how it's impacted our lives. And I can't say enough for this book and what it means. I wish I knew about it decades ago so that I could have been a different person sooner, much sooner. But I am so blessed that today I take this message very strongly and with a lot of faith, and I am thankful that I can reach out to others, and I hope that others in this program will continue on this journey of helping one another and helping those who are not sure of how to search for an answer, because it's there for us and God is there for us. So I'm thankful, and with that I pass.
Thank you so much, Chris S. from Wyoming. And I forgot Janice K. My apologies, Janice. Please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Janice K. in Oregon. One of the things that is very clear in this paragraph and in all of the doctor's opinion is a strong unspoken plea of listen to the people who know. Listen to the people who know. And another thing that really has altruism, unselfishness, is not a characteristic of an actively practicing addict. The actively practicing addict specializes in a remarkable amount of self-centeredness. And the fact that it is an altruistic motive, he uses that word several times in this chapter. The altruistic motive, let's remember that when this was written, we were nudging our way out of the Great Depression. And if, it didn't really happen this way, but if someone were to say to the recovering alcoholic, okay, you take this guy in, you show him what you've done, you get him sober, and we will give you $100 for each successful effort. It would have been a great comfort to the suffering alcoholics, recovering alcoholics of the day, because if you look into their histories, Dr. Bob and Bill and all of the early alcoholics were suffering from the effects of their disease in the economics, as do we. The thing is, we are altruistic. The recovering addict forswears self-interest, and we share our experience, strength, and hope with others in the hope that we can help them find what we have. So thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you so much, Janice K. from Oregon. Now, Sarah B., will you share with us, please, and let us know where you're calling from?
Hi, this is Sarah B. from Michigan. Gratefully recovered, newly recovered, compulsive overeater. And I guess just to relate to the paragraph, I just, no one was sharing, so I just felt like, let me see if I can, just relating to the absolute hopelessness of this and just thinking of my own history. And I used to visualize this disease as it was like a Ferris wheel of knives. It was just very dangerous and sort of spinning around in me, and like there was no solution to it. There just seemed like there was, I had looked at my food history that I wrote in step one and how there was never an answer. And here I am 4 months later, just a very short amount of time later. And, I think there can be surges of movements of people where, I guess it is God. There's some energy takes hold, and I feel like some major energy was taking hold at this time in history that the book is talking about. And I also feel like that is still happening, and it's definitely happening in the vision meeting for me. This energy, this movement of people, this spirit in the people, and, just doing the things that the program that I was told to do, just going to meetings every day, just turning over my will, turning over my food, working through the steps in a quick amount of time. And I don't know. There is no logic. There is no reason, really. I don't know why it's worked. I don't know why I feel so free and so connected, but it has been like bursting off into the fourth dimension in many ways, both socially and spiritually. And I think that they are connected, the way that
the isolation breaks and the conversations open and spirit is allowed to come between people sharing. So it's a mystery and it's magical and spiritual, and I'm grateful to have found this and to be here, and I'm glad it worked when nothing else did. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Sarah B. We have time for one more share. Is there someone who hasn't shared in the last 3 days who would like to share with us this morning? I'd love to hear from you.
Liz A.
Liz A., please go ahead and share with us. You have about 2 minutes.
Okay. This is Liz A. from Michigan. I have not shared in quite some time. You all seem so eloquent that I find it almost intimidating. I'm just being honest. The thing that I find about addiction, because I've been in program for over 30 years, is that it is a very heart-wrenching. I watched a good friend of mine kill herself essentially with this food addiction. And boy, I didn't know how to handle that. I wasn't a very good person at coaching or helping or anything. Because it's only a power greater than me that can relieve that obsession and that insanity. And, you know, that wasn't what she chose. But I guess the fact is that I have lost friends in program. I am very profoundly grateful to be here. I would not be alive had I not come into OA. And when I came in, we didn't have the OA literature, and for that I'm also grateful, because the women that I started OA with were pretty tough, and I needed that kind of seriousness in the approach of this program. So I've just kept coming back. I have never left, and I'm grateful for all my fellow travelers and all your service. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Liz A. from Michigan. And thank you to everyone who shared. You really made this meeting very special. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jordan L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Don. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous and Abstinent with all of you this morning. our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.